Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Michelle. Ah,
you ready, girl?
Michelle,
Michelle.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Say
woo.
Breaking up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Showing others how to live.
We care with love all through the land.
Well, good evening out there. It is Tell It Tuesday. We have Ms. Stephanie Haynes coming on with us. We're getting ready to understand part three of Love Language. But before we get going here, you know, those booster shots are out there available for those of a certain age, those with underlying health conditions, and the teachers and the frontline people. Go get the booster shots for those who have had two shots of your Pfizer out there. But, you know, I'm going to share a story with you. We hear these things. We feel that things are not being transparent. We're all confused and getting various stories. But I have a close-to-home story. You know, I mentioned to you that my nephew in Texas has contracted COVID. And he was at home, supposed to be quarantining, there with his wife, not staying in the room, moving around. Well, he ran into a bout. He went to the hospital, to the emergency room. They kept him because his oxygen had dropped, okay? But he didn't have to go on the ventilator. He had had his vaccine shot. There's no guarantee that you won't get it, but like they say, you'll be here to be sick, but you'll still be here. So they have to watch him for 5 days. Then his wife, she was feeling kind of bad, so she tested, and she became positive also. And so she got weak, and her father-in-law, my brother-in-law, told her to go to the emergency room. But she's had her two Pfizer shots and her booster. So they checked her out. They checked out everything. They found out she began to feel better. They gave her some medication. They can't give it to her in the hospital. She has to take it at home. And she's back home. So, you know, this is close to home to me. So whether you're a believer or not, there's something in that vaccine that keeps you here. You might have to fight to stay here, but you're not placed on that ventilator, and you're still here to be sick. So I just wanted to tell you that, for those out there who are wondering and listening to what they're saying, so it doesn't prevent it, But it keeps you here. At least you're not lying in the cemetery with the rest of the tombstones. And that's just for at this time. So I'm just going to ask you guys to, you know, send them prayer out there. Send prayer out there to everyone. Because your home is where your loved ones live. Your home is the place where you work together with your fellow human beings to build a paradise, a realm of peace and prosperity for all. When we are asked where our home is, we can answer, my home is the world. Everywhere in the world where my fellow human beings live, all of it is my home. So we're all in these homes together. We're all fellow human beings. Let's think of other people. You know, we have our opinions out there to do what we have to do. But think about it. You know, if you can and you don't have a health condition that prevents you from, please go out there and get that vaccine, okay? You might get sick, but you'll still be here to be sick. And on that note, I'm going to play a song for you because we're going to have Miss Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of a Man's Heart, coming on. She's doing webinars and seminars that's happening on a weekly basis. We'll get her to share that with you. But I want you to get out your pads and pencils. Get out two or three pencils because she's going to give you some information. But before that, I'll just play you a little of this. Her topic is part three of Love Language.
Places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad ones, I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now. And I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. We're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love, holding nothing. You came out in front when I was hiding. Together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there hiding. Singing this song to you.
no space or time. I love you for my life. You're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember we were together. We were alone and I was singing this song to you.
That's right. Beautiful words. We have Miss Stephanie Haynes with us for the Waking Up with Linda McShann to give us more information about how to recognize what to do, what love language really is. We're moving into series here and we're into part three. Stephanie Haynes, are you on the line with us this evening?
Yes, Miss Linda, how are you?
I am wonderful, thank you. You know I'm going to put it out here. Thank you for taking out time of your busy day, your busy schedule, to come on and care and share with us this evening. And on that note, I see that beautiful smile. I see it in your voice. I know you had a phenomenal day. And I'm just going to sit back over here and let you talk to us about love language and what it really is.
All right, so good evening, listeners. How's everyone? And I hope everyone is doing fine on this Tuesday evening. So last week we talked about the five different love languages. And so what I'm going to go into this today is to actually this evening to talk about each love language individually. So the first one of the love language. So we have, we talked about the receiving gift is one. And the person that loves to be given gifts, you know, and it doesn't have to be a gift of something expensive. Sometimes a person just likes to be noticed, you know, bringing flowers or just even writing a note is a gift. You know, so now I'm going to do a scenario. So this is Eric. He spent a year in Kansas. And his friends, you know, and he's in the friend zone of this relationship. Now, before, you know, she agreed to, you know, go out with him. Now, since they were both big basketball fans, Erica took her to a minor league game in Indianapolis. Now, they were singing they were sitting in a grassy area beyond the left field fence when suddenly a hard hit drive came their way. Erica jumped up and made an impression barehanded catch. Now his fifth that was his first home run. And he grabbed ever. Now, 2 days later, Kinsley found a gift wrap package outside her dorm room. Now, she opened it and found a baseball in a small plastic display case. And it was one of that you use for collective items, okay? Now, she tapped to the inside of the case was a ticket stub from the game. Scribed on the ball was the date of the game and these words. First home run catch. Second best thing to happen to me that day. Now, how romantic is that? You know, so the gift doesn't have to be a big thing. No, she just, you know, just got a baseball and put the date that they at the game and the ticket and made it somewhere where it can be a memorabilia, and they put it in the case. Now, they were married 2 years after that first date. Now, 15 years later, and spiritual bonds that unite yours to heart and long that has to end. Now, that is not meaningless verbalizing a significant truth. Symbols have emotional value. Now, perhaps that is even more graphically displayed near the end. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Linda. I got to get some water. Okay. And I had a coffee fit just before I got on this on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Just give me one second. Let's clear my throat. Not my condolence, but my prayers is going out to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's like, you know, as I stated, those red beans and rice that they eat down there keep my nephew's immune was down, but he had his vaccine. So I'm understanding this stuff. It's not saying that you're out the woods, but you don't, you're still here to go through it, okay? So I'm just monitoring them and sending in that love.
All right. So let me go say this again. So the spiritual bond that united your two hearts and the love that has no end. Now, that is not meaningless historically, right? It is verbalizing a significant truth, symbolized, have emotional value. Now, perhaps that is even more graphically displayed near the end of a distinguishing when the husband or wife stopped wearing the wedding ring. Now, one husband said, when she threw her wedding ring at me and angrily walked out of the house, slamming the door behind her, I knew our marriage was in serious trouble. Now, I didn't pick up her ring for 2 days. So when I finally did, I couldn't stop crying. The lonely ring staring deep emotions within the husband. Now, the beginning, they were in love, inseparable. But 15 years later, they grew apart. Now, what happened? Did the gift stop giving? The little small gestures. Because the first gift was just a baseball, written the date on it, put it in a display case. That's something simple. But as we get, you know, when we get into relationship, we stop doing the things that got us in the relationship in the beginning. Sometimes we get comfortable. And then when we get comfortable, then we take each other for granted. So to keep the romance going in the relationship, we have to, you know, continue to do the things that we did in the beginning to keep the relationship together. Now, the visual symbol of love are most important to some people than to others. So that's why individuals have different attitudes toward wedding rings. Some never take the ring off after the wedding. Others don't even wear a wedding ring band. If receiving gifts is my primary love language, I will place great value on the ring you have given me, and I will wear it with pride. Now, I will also be moved emotionally by other gifts that you give through the years. Now, I will see them as expression of love. Now, without gifts as visual symbols, I may question your love. Gifts comes in all sizes, colors, and shapes. Some are expensive, and others are free to the individual whose primary love language is receiving gifts. The cost of the gift will matter little, unless it is out of line with what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a millionaire gives only $1 gift regularly, the spouse may question whether that is an expression of love. Now, but when family finances are limited, a $1 gift may speak a $1 million worth of love. Now, gifts may be purchased, found, or made. The husband who finds an interesting bird feather while out dogging may bring it home to his wife, has found himself an expression of love. Now, unless, of course, his wife is allergic to feathers. Now, for the man who can't afford it, you can purchase a beautiful card for less than $5. Now, for the man who cannot, you can make one for free. Now, get the paper out of the trash can where you work, fold it in the middle, take scissors, and cut out a heart. Now, write, "I love you," and sign your name. Now, gifts need not be expensive, but what of the person who says, "I'm not a gift giver. I didn't receive many gifts growing up. I never learned how to select gifts. It doesn't come natural to me." Now, congratulations. You have just made the first discovery in becoming a great lover. Now, you and your spouse speak different love languages. Now that you have made the discovery, get on with the business of learning your second language. Now, if your spouse's primary love language is receiving gifts, you can become a proficient gift giver. In fact, it is one of the easiest love languages to learn. Now, where do you begin? Now, make a list of all the gifts your spouse has expressed excitement about receiving through the years. They may be gifts you have given or gifts given by other families, members, or friends. Now, the list will give you an idea of the kind of gifts your spouse would enjoy receiving. Now, if you have little or no knowledge about selecting the kind of gift on your list, recruit help from the family members who knows your spouse. Now, in the meantime, select gifts that you feel comfortable purchasing, making, or finding. Now, give the gift to your spouse. Now, don't wait for a special occasion, because it doesn't have to be a special occasion when you give gifts. It's just because, right?
True.
And if receiving gifts his or her primary love language, almost anything you give would be received as an expression of love. Now, if she has been of your gift in the past, that almost nothing you have given has been acceptable, then receiving gifts is almost certainly not her primary love language. Yeah, I remember, you know, coming up and trying to find a gift for my dad. It was one of the worst things possible. He complained about everything. Sometimes it's hard to satisfy men with gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It was, yeah. We always take it back. So we learned, we just gave him money. Mm-hmm. You go buy your own gift. Yeah, so we knew that giving gifts to him was not his love language.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now she was furious with him. No, he couldn't believe what she was saying. Now, I felt she would be proud of me for telling the king. Now, and when her mother died, she probably didn't tell you that I took off work a week before she died and spent the whole week at the hospital and at her mother's house doing repairs and helping out. Now, after she died and the funeral was over, I felt I'd done all I could do. I needed a breather. Now, I like to play softball, and I knew that it would help me relax and relieve some of the stress, so she wants me to take a break. I have done what I felt was important to her, but it wasn't enough. She has never let me forget those 2 days. She said that I love softball more than I love her. That's ridiculous. Now, he was a sincere husband who failed to understand that the tremendous power of presence. His being there for his wife was more important than anything else in her mind. Physical, the most powerful gift you can give if your spouse's primary love language is receiving gifts. That your body becomes the symbol of your love. Now remove the symbol and the sense of love operates. Now, in counseling, Tony and Sonia worked through the hurts and the misunderstanding of the past. Eventually, Sonia was able to forgive him, and Tony came to understand why his presence was so important to her.
Mm.
Now, if the physical presence of your spouse is important to you, I urge you to verbalize that your spouse don't expect him to read your mind. Now, if, on the other hand, your spouse says to you, I really want you to be there with me tonight, tomorrow, and this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Now, from your perspective, it might not be important, but if you are not responsive to that request, you may be communicating a message you do not intend. Now, a husband once said, when my mother died, my wife's supervisor said that she could be off 2 hours for the funeral, but she needed to be back in the office for the afternoon. Now, my wife told him that she felt her husband needed her support that day, and she would have to be away the entire day. Now, the supervisor replied that if you are gone all day, you may well lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife said, well, my husband is more important than my job. She spent the day with me. Somehow that day, I felt more love by her than ever before. I have never forgotten what she did. That incidentally, she didn't lose her job. Her supervisor soon left, and she was asked to take this job. Now, that wife has spoken the love language of her husband, and he never forgot it. Wow. Now, Sarah, this was Miracles in Chicago. Now, almost everything ever written on the subject of love indicates that at the heart of love is the spirit of giving. Now, all five love languages challenge us to give to our spouses. But receiving gifts, visible symbols of love, speaks the loudest. Now, I heard the most graphic illustration of that truth in Chicago, where I met Doug and Kate. Now, this is another couple. Now, they attended, you know, my marriage seminar and agreed to take me to O'Hara Airport after the seminar on Sunday afternoon. Now, we had 2 or 3 hours before the flight, and they asked if I would like to stop at a restaurant. Now, I was famished, so I really, you know, I was ready. I was really hungry. Now, Kate began talking about immediately after when we sat down. She said, "Doctor, God used you to perform a miracle in our marriage. 3 years ago, we attended your marriage seminar here in Chicago. Now, for the first time, I was desperate," she said. "I was thinking seriously of leaving Doug and had told him so. Now, our marriage had been empty for a long time. I had given up. 4 years I had complained to Doug that I needed his love, but he never responded. I loved the children, and I knew they loved me. But I felt nothing coming from Doug. Now, in fact, by that time, I hated Doug. He was a methodical person. He did everything by routine. He was a predictable as a clock, and no one could break into his routine. He was boring. Now, for years," she continued, "I tried to be a good wife. I did all that I could, and I thought a good wife should do. Now, I had sex with him because I knew that it was important to him. But I felt no love coming from him. I felt like he stopped dating me after we got married and simply took me for granted. Now, I felt used and unappreciated. Now, when I talked to Doug about my feelings, he laughed at me and said we had a good marriage as anybody else's in the community. He didn't understand why I was so unhappy. He would remind me that the bills were paid, that we had a nice house, a new car, that I was free to work or not work outside of the home, and that I should be happy instead of complaining all the time. Now, he didn't even try to understand my feelings. I felt totally rejected. Well, anyway," she said, as she moved her tea and leaned forward, "we came to your seminar 3 years ago, not know what to expect. And frankly, I didn't expect much. I didn't think anybody could change Doug. Now, during and after the seminar, now, he didn't say too much. He seems to like it. Then that Monday afternoon, he came home from work and gave me a rose. "Where did you get that?" I asked. "I bought it from a street vendor," he said, "and I thought you deserve a rose." Now, I start crying. "Oh, Doug, that is so sweet of you." Now, on Tuesday, he texts me from the office about 1:30 and asks me what I thought about him picking up a pizza for dinner. That may not sound like a big deal to most people, but Doug never does anything like that. Now, I told him, so he brought home a pizza, and we all had fun time together. Now, I gave him a hug and told him how much I enjoyed it. Now, when he came home on Wednesday, he brought each of the kids a box of Cracker Jacks, and he had a small potted plant for me. Now, he said he knew the rose would die, and he thought I might like something that would be around for a while. I was beginning to think I was fascinating. I couldn't believe what Doug was doing or why he was doing it. So, Linda, I have a question for you. What happened here? Linda?
Wait a minute, hold on. Yes, I was putting in a plug. You said you wanted to know what time it was?
No, I said, what happened here?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What did you say?
Okay, I was asking you what happened in this situation. What changed?
With going through, as far as I'm concerned, and we're speaking of gifts and things, thinking of how he was feeling and what she was feeling, when you said a change, I wouldn't call it a change. It was a shift. It was a shift there.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say it was a shift that was made?
Well, it could be a shift and a change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what he did at first, he wasn't paying her no attention. And so so after he went to the seminar, something triggered him. And I think the trigger was that he wasn't paying his wife any attention.
No.
So after the seminar, he brought his wife a rose. And then the next day, he called and texted her and said, "I'm going to bring a pizza home." So this is out of his norm. Because he was very methodically, he's very routine. So he was very, that anal, very structured, into
mm-hmm.
his own world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he moved and came out of that and started even, asking for the kids. And that's something that he didn't normally do.
He never did. And then he was breaking away from his routine. So he was so methodical as far as he was very, very structured. Like she said, she could pin him. He moved like a clock. So for him to make that, I wouldn't call it a change. I call it he shifted. It was a shift. And the reason why I said it was a shift, because a change is something that's absolute and you never really, really go back. But the shift sort of like puts you in gear. He might bounce back and forth, but by him making that shift, he broke his routine. So
Yeah,
he broke the routine. It's not saying that he's going to keep that attitude forever, because she's very, very, like she said, he moves like a clock, very, very structured. But something woke mm-hmm. him to make a shift. So I don't,
right.
I wouldn't say a change. I call it a shift. He shifted. Yes. So
okay, I take that too. All right. So now on Thursday night after dinner, he handed her a card with a message about his not always being able to express his love to her, but hoping that the card would communicate how much he cares.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said, why don't we get a babysitter on Saturday night and the two of us go out for dinner? He suggested. Mm. So now he's opening up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this would be great, she said. Now, on Friday afternoon, he stopped by the cookie shop and brought each of us one of our favorite cookies. Now, again, he kept it as a surprise.
As a what?
Only as a surprise.
Right.
He made it a surprise for him and for the wife and the kids. Now, telling us only that he had a treat for dessert. Now, by Saturday night, he said, I was in orbit. I had no idea what he had came over Doug, or if it would last, like you said. Okay?
Okay.
You know, this would last or not, right?
Right.
But she was enjoying every moment of it. Now, after our dinner at the restaurant, I said to him, Doug, you have to tell me what's happening. I don't understand. She looked at me, Dr. Chapman, this was a man who never gave me a gift, ever.
Mm.
He never gave me a card for any occasion. He always said, it's a waste of money. You look at the card and throw it away. He never bought the children anything and expected me to buy only the essentials. He expected me to have dinner ready every day. And I mean, this was a radical change in his behavior. Now, I turned to Doug and asked, what did you say to her in the restaurant when she asked you what was going on? I told her that I had listened to your lecture on love language at the seminar and that I realized that her love language was gifts.
Mm.
I also realized that I had not given her a gift in years.
Mm.
Maybe not since we had been married. I remember that when we were dating, I used to bring her flowers and other small gifts. But after marriage, I figured we couldn't afford that. I told her that I had decided that I was going to try to get her a gift every day for 1 week and see if it made any difference in her. I had to admit that I had seen a pretty big difference in her attitude during this week.
Wow.
Now, remember I stated earlier that when you get married, whatever you was doing at the beginning of the marriage, you got to continue that on if you want the spice to be there.
I agree with you on that.
Right? So
I agree.
Then he said, mm-hmm. And then he said, I told her that I realized that what you said was really true and that learning the right love language was the key to helping another person feel loved. I said, I was sorry that I had been so dead for all those years and had failed to meet her needs for love. I told her that I really loved her and that I appreciate all the things she did for me and, her, and the children. And I told her that with God's help, I was going to be a gift giver for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Wow.
So when
she
you
said,
what did she say?
Now, she said, but Doug, you can't go on buying me gifts every day for the rest of your life. We can't afford that. Well, maybe not every day, I said, but at least once a week.
Mm.
That would be 50, that'd be 52 more gifts per year than what you have received in the past 5 years.
Wow.
Now, I don't think he has missed a single week in 3 years, Kate said. Now, he is like a new man. You wouldn't believe how happy we have been. Our children call us lovebirds now.
Call you lovebirds. So I'm looking here and I'm listening here. So when we speak, because when you see the word love language, you kind of wonder what that means. But after you breaking down the receiving of the gifts and the giving of the gifts and what it does, is something that is very important for us to pay attention to. Because like there's many dialects and language, love has many, many departments too. That language has many, many dialects. And like he noticed, and that's why he could do that shift, he became aware of it. It's like, how can you know what strawberry ice cream tastes like if you've never had it and all you've been doing is eating vanilla? So after going to that seminar, after really paying attention, it woke him up, and therefore the shift was there. So I changed my statement on it being a shift. Hell, it was a change. It was a change in behavior because he decided to do it, well, not every day, but every week. So he did make that change. So now, he shifted his thought pattern of what of his structure. He shifted his structure. But yes, I'm gonna agree with you. He definitely made a change. He definitely made a change.
Yeah.
And I'm asking, and on that note, I know we're carrying this up and we go into five languages, five different sections here, and I'm looking at our time, so I know we will pick back up again. We'll pick back up again on next Tuesday, Tell It Tuesday, and keep moving forward. But Stephanie, that was a tricky one. You know, when you said change, I said, no, he didn't make a change, he made a shift. But after you kept going into it and I started connecting, it was actually a change. So love language is very, very important. And I go along with the way you start something is the way you keep it. I like gifts. I like to give them and I like to get them. Okay, and I've had opportunities, whereas my husband would hide stuff up under the pillow, he was always giving me gifts. And one, I think I had it was a birthday, and I went home and I didn't see that box. Okay, I did not see that box, and I was on that phone. And I wanted to know where he had placed it in a different place, but he still had it. But I didn't see that box, and I wanted to know what was going on, because that was definitely my language, okay? I mean, jewelry and things of that nature, beautiful jewelry, beautiful gold chains and bath outfits, our watches and all of that, you know, and I'd be expecting that stuff, okay? So that was my language. So when you bring them little bitty boxes, you was really having a good conversation with me. And then he was very consistent with it and stuff. So when we were no longer as one, I just kept up the mode. I'm always get my little self a little gift. It's always about a gift. I said, I don't have to wait on one. I need to go get one. So that's the, I'm a person, my language is gifts. Gifts and, mm-hmm. and basically dialogue, but I like gifts, and I like to give them. You know, that's my way uh-huh. of showing up. If I'm with a group of people, I've learned at an early age, you don't bring two, and it's 10 people. If you're going to bring gifts, you better bring all 10, okay? I learned that as a child. So if I, like, give gifts out and it's with a group of people or there's so many people, everybody gets a gift. And I don't give. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. But on that note, I'm going to tell the listeners that next week you better get out two pens and a tape recorder because this gets better. But you got me. You said, what was the change? Oh, no, Stephanie, it was not a change. It was a shift. But after you got into it, you took me, and it was a change. But see, only you knew that. That's why I love talking to you because you will make a person connect dots, okay? You'll make them connect those dots and give them something mm-hmm. to think about, even though it's going in a... It's a story form because you're putting a good example out there. You know, you're painting the picture. So, you know, the baseball, and that was excellent. You know, that it was a small gesture, but it was a beautiful gesture. And now him mm-hmm. going to the seminar and becoming aware and making that change, not a shift. I changed my statement. You made me agree with you, and you knew what you were doing, but you just had to make me connect the dots. You know, I know you, Stephanie Haynes. But I'm going to say next week we'll be picking up the next level, the next language. And on that note, we're going to tell the friends and tell all the listeners how much we love them. And, Stephanie, we're going to have to cut out because my board is doing some strange things. And I don't want it just to go blank. So I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you for caring and sharing with us. And we will speak with you next week. And we will carry on this series of love language. And it gets better and better and better. Stephanie, we love you. I will be speaking with you shortly, okay? I just need to cut the board. You know how technology is, and I don't like it to go blank, okay? Love you. Thank you. Stephanie Haynes. Thank you, the author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of a Man's Heart. And also, Stephanie, you got a minute. When the series is happening. When is the next webinar? Just give me briefly.
For the sex series?
Yes.
Yes, the next one's going to be the third Friday in October.
Okay.
It's Grumpy Old Men and Horny Old Women.
Horny Old Women. Okay, third Friday. Okay, that's what I needed to know in October. So I'll get that information and post that link out, too, so people can come in. And there's Grumpy Old Men and Horny Women. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, that's what we're going to leave with. And we love you. I'll be speaking with you because I want to put that link out so that people can register and come in. Okay?
All right.
All right.
Good evening, Linda.
Thank you. Love you. And thank you for the prayers for my family. They're eating them beans. They're going to be all right. Okay? But at least they're not on ventilators and you know where I'm going. So it's something to the madness. We don't know what it is. But I'm getting actual proof here. So I'm going to stick with it and keep sending that positive energy out there. We love you and thank you again.
All right,
positive
take care
energy
now.
For my friend and my family and for the love of you. To check too. Listeners, that was Stephanie Haynes, author of The Healing of the Wound.
with Linda Michelle.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Michelle.
Care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.